And welcome, 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 as you heard there, in terms of that in-depth discussion that just came through from the Home Run program there with my colleague and Valde. I do hope that you guys have enjoyed that in-depth scenario providing said talk or said, well, information or hub of information itself. Now, as we transfer or move from the Home Runs platform, heading into the business and economic zone here on your number one talk radio station, we get into a very critical and very, very important discussion. In most part, actually, that we as a greater Namibian society have not actually heeded as much, have not actually taken that much cognizance of. Don't worry, guys. I've ended with the aviation discussion in last night's session. We are now on the discussion of the role and importance of civil society in an economy. In most parts, civil society is indicated or sort of like lumped into the category of society or a country's society, almost like it's doing, you know, it's almost like everyone's family friend scenario, which in most parts civil society aims to be that family friend for the country, for all citizens. For those that feel that, you know, there is part, you know, intentionally wherein problems come about or where problems pose a threat. This can be to communities, this can be to minorities, this can be to neighborhoods, this can be to various groups, various economic groups, you name it, societies, religion-based or tradition-based cultures. It can be many of those concerns. It can ultimately also extend towards climate. What else? Education, health, food security, housing. And so the list can go on and on and on. Now, I mentioned the last part intentionally as well, to identify to you how civil societies actually participate in the broader discussion in every country around the world. The reason for this is today I went to, just after the Brand Conversations programming just ended, I quickly stepped out and went to an event in terms of a exhibition. It was more like the feeling of a almost like a mini trade show, mini trade fair scenario for civil societies. It the last day was today, but it was held at the Gateway Center there in Kommersdal. Well, it's actually on the Gateway Center. If you know where the Gateway Center is in Windhoek, you know, it's on between Kommersdal and Windhoek West. Went there, went to go see what the situation was like, ultimately because I saw a poster somewhere about this. Got there and I saw all these civil society organizations there. From environment, to climate action, to governance and all those kinds of impacted groups, to nutrition, to language and culture, to, what's the other one? Yes, to health. There were good collective of them that represented health. There were interesting ones, obviously the mainstay names being like the Cheetah Conservation Fund and the Institute for Public Policy Research, that being IPPR, them being the sort of like the two bigger well-known ones in Namibian civil society circles. Ultimately also you had the one in the media space being Namibia Media Trust. So there was a good presence there, a healthy presence, a presence that actually reflected every quadrant. Well, not quadrant, I can't say quadrant because quadrant would mean that there's only four pieces. But every sector of the Namibian economy. You see, if you speak about nutrition is vital because it speaks to food security. A major discussion we've extensively, you know, dissected. You know, in terms of invested a lot of energy and breath and, you know, mental power into here on the business and economic zone. If you take a look at health, a lot of the programs look at combating, if it's either HIV, AIDS, then it would be tuberculosis, and then it would be other kinds of health-threatening diseases that are, or that have been identified as major stumbling blocks for development in the continent, including Namibia. If you head over to those ones that look at governance and in terms of, you know, governance and transparency and corruption and so forth, then you see how the other, specifically those civil society organizations, how they impact or try to have a look at and formulate and work in the scope where local authorities, legislators, the government itself with its ministries, all of them function in that space, because policies is what drives an economy. Government policies is what guides an economy. Government policies is what helps the private sector to function. Sometimes it's not just about government investment or government expenditure or government stimulus in an economy in order to get the economy moving. Sometimes it's just about having clear-cut policies that helps everyone develop, or actually not develop, but helps everyone develop their planning, their business planning, because the government policies indicate predictable functioning. What I mean by predictable functioning, you know that every year tax collection needs to take place. Tax returns need to be up to date with, it's now NAMRA, but before that it was used to be Inland Revenue. And every year there's this period where tax collection has to be submitted or relevant documentation has to be done. The policies around tax collection aid HR departments around the country, finance departments around the country, banks around the country, as well as also the central bank, to actually be in line, have the necessary paperwork in order, and submit and pay the necessary fines and contributions over to the tax man. Because that said policy allows for predictable business practice. Everyone can forecast and predict the actions from that point. The same with laws. Laws ultimately that govern, for example, crime, that govern, for example, anti-corruption, that govern, for example, immigration, that govern, for example, human rights, that govern, for example, elections, that govern, for example, the mandate, or not the mandate, the role of the state, for example, in an economy. Laws, even. It helps the private sector, it helps investors to see what these policies aim to provide, as well as also what is the big play that needs to be followed, that needs to be achieved, that needs to be implemented. Sorry for the sports references, guys. For some reason I'm in a sports mood today. But yes, this is what the major drive points towards. This is what civil society also operates within. Thinking about the introduction for today's program, I actually thought about, you know, does civil society operate within a gray zone? Do they? Because on the one side, you've got the various, you know, active members of a greater country's society, i.e. the state, which is government, i.e. the private sector. Then you've got the citizenry. Then you've got someone like the local authorities, but the local authorities would then fall part of the state function. And then you sit and wonder, so is there a gray area? Is there something else? What is it? Now, in most cases, even from the small discussions I heard at the exhibition there, because there was also on the side a presentation happening by the IPPR's main executive or head executive, that being Mr. Graham Hopwood. And but I actually caught it on the end in terms of that they were now in the questions and answering section of the discussion. One of the gentlemen of the participants indicated, you know, what's the role of civil society in terms of if it gets to, you know, especially into the in the fight against corruption. But he also portrayed, in his question, he portrayed civil society as being sort of like a toothless watchdog. The scenario is, unfortunately, with the fight against corruption, if you have to look at it in that sense, because investors look at the anti-corruption policies that that any country has, and they want to have trust in a system that should be there. They want the reason why they would invest in your country is they want to see an obvious system exist. I say use the word obvious also intentionally, because it should be apparent. It should be apparent, meaning it should not be vague in the sense of like saying, no, but that ministry is supposed to be in charge of it. Let's, for example, say the ACC did not exist. And, you know, the discussions will always be, no, that ministry is supposed to be in charge of it. If it was against anti-money laundering policies, then the discussion would be, no, it's the central bank's mandate. They need to sort this out. But then the central bank would say, but we can't make any moves without the finance ministry. The finance ministry would say, but yeah, but we're waiting for research from Ministry of Justice based upon money laundering and anti-money laundering policies from around the world. What does it look like in order to provide said template here? And investors want to see solid frameworks. They want to see systems in place. They want to see that the systems function. They want to see that. Now, civil society, as I mentioned to you, that there are various representations coming through from them. Civil society is not there to be a policing function. It's there to provide a, you know, further support in terms of transparency, in terms of bringing out information with regards to various policies being implemented. And we can go on extensively about this discussion points, because you get to see, you know, what's the situation, what's the aim of a policy, what's the aim of legislation, of specific kinds of legislation. Now, the reason I mentioned this is because at that stage, when I saw, you know, the exhibition, just also after the small public lecture, is in terms I realized the importance that civil society plays. Now, if you asked your question directly, in a broader sense, what role does civil society actually play, contribute in an economy? One researcher from the Brookings Institute, George Ingram, back in 2020, highlighted that civil society is an essential ingredient of development. Now, you and I know the moment you mention the word development, that automatically means and speaks to economy. That automatically speaks to, affiliates to, gives weight to, provides further value, further extension, expansion, you name it. We can go into, you know, until I turn blue in the face with regards to its function. But here's the other thing. I always thought that civil society was only based on specific actors within a country. For example, they have to be a non-governmental organization. But the term non-governmental sometimes does overlap even into those that would function in the sphere where you would find a government presence. For example, George Ingram notes it here that you can have schools, universities, and other kinds of institutions step into that zone and be a civil society actor, a civil society participant. This also means that you and me, the individual on the ground, can also be a participant. Usually, the citizen at the end, if we now have to think about it like in terms of my brand conversation discussions, I would always have the consumer at the end, you have the producer at the other end, the producer being the start point, the consumer being the end point, and in between you've got channel actors and stakeholders and participants and facilitators It's the same scenario. But here's the best part of it. In a civil society function, it's a superfluous role, meaning everyone, anyone, from the head of state, even to a minister, even to a religious leader, even to a traditional authority leader, even to a child, can be a civil society participant. And remember, the major component, you know, is for the betterment, is for the greater good of a society. This function, this existence of this ecosystem is for the betterment. I won't say improvement, because we don't know what needs to be improved. I indicated to you earlier the vast sectors, or the plethora. I don't like using that word much, but yes, the plethora of sectors when civil society can be found. Now, from my observation earlier today, obviously, there's major actors, major components, major stakeholders in the health, with a lot of facilitation stakeholders already as well, still in the health component. Then you've got environment, then you've got media, then you've got governance, anti-corruption, transparency, all those on one side. The other thing is, I didn't see anyone much about, for example, business. So civil society and business. Because most of them have a traditional role, right? They have a traditional role. But in this component, in today's discussion, I'm actually at the top of the hour from 7 o'clock. The rules of engagement is you can come through on the studio line. You can come and bring your contribution with regards to civil society. And remember, anyone can be a civil society participant. Yes, you. Even a school child. Even my colleague, my one colleague here in the studio, I won't mention a name right now, but even herself, she runs, in effect, an NGO, providing a function to the needy in the Windhoek society who don't have access to sanitary pads. And usually, those are developing women, women that find themselves in the informal settlements of the capital. And sanitary pads is to provide a sense of dignity to the individual who is in need. Now, as mentioned, the studio number is 083-288-401. You can come through. Let's have a talk. Let's have a listen. Let me hear your contributions. But still, I'll continue with some of the takes, especially coming from Ingram, where he noted. Now, remember, George Ingram is a senior fellow, as I mentioned, from the Global Economy and Development Department for the Brookings Institute. I won't go into the depth of the Brookings Institute itself, but it is an American institute, just to let you know. And he indicates that during the 2020 pandemic, or during the year of 2020, unfortunately, civil society organizations, they suffered the vast brunt in terms of the fight, in the greater fight against the COVID pandemic, wherein a lot of them who are dependent upon funding faced a year without funding, or faced the potential of not being funded. Now, the unfortunate thing is, the modern-day economic system, the modern-day financial systems, is solely based on the mechanism of financing. In order for you to have meaningful impact in societies, you need to have funding. You cannot walk around there with just words. You can't. You need to have funding. If you need to bring support, you need to bring support. I'll give you an example. Currently, right now, in the UK, the UK, which is supposed to be one of the G7 economies in the world, they have 2.5 million food banks across their country. Now, remember, the UK is a united zone or territory of Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and England. The UK has 2.5 million food banks. Guys, do you know how much is 2.5 million food banks run solely by civil society organizations, NGOs? And this is because of the cost of living crisis that they are experiencing. Here in Namibia, yes, we cannot ignore it. We're not living in an island insulated from the rest of the world's moves and developments. Yes, we are also in some parts of society. You will see Namibians experiencing a cost of living crisis as well. Funny enough, we haven't heard from anyone talking about a cost of living crisis even. Because in direct impact, our cost of living crisis has been ongoing since 2016. Since 2018, when we were considered to have entered into a technical recession. So we are still finding ourselves in the throes of a recession. We are still finding ourselves. Remember, that's 2018. 2019 came about. Bam! 2020. 2021, you have to correct yourself. 2022, we're still trying to pull ourselves out of that sinkhole of 2020.
The International University of Management, IUM, witete umbo no namba no kushive fakuja, umaintirorongo otuataya academic year 2023. Ukapatruka, enterera pa ifi ulikore paparoe mo education, ukarolongi fikora, ile ukufe o health and social science, osho maifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership, na taimonika no tourism, osho hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies, adshota demonika. Uerere, otau monika ko website, www.ium.edu.na. Ile utarere po embiroa da IUM, dikulipo pepi, Movenduka, Monko Renguru, Mongwe Diva, no Mompae, Otadi Monica, Wirero to Hangi Kongo Jia Venduka, 061, Ongo Di, Ne, Natunatu, Oma Veri Hamano, Inda Komesho, Kufetokoro Rimonjira, Toiko Monakui Wainerao, Pamena IUM.
Whether you're a fed cookie or a potaiki, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Now, getting back from our extended break right there. Now, civil society, according to George Ingram, is an essential building block of development and national cohesion. In a country that has peace and stability, as in its current situation in terms of, you know, what the situation is there politically, socioeconomically, and the works, civil society fills the space that is untouched by government and the private sector. Now, he notes, in a fragile and conflict-ridden country, the opposite of the peace and stability country, it plays an even more important role of providing services, normally the responsibility of a state and business, and it can lay the foundation for reconciliation. Now, taking those specific, just that one paragraph worth in terms of analyzing the role that civil society plays or can play, you see the functions itself. Because in any... Okay, let's look at Namibia. Let's start with Namibia. So we have private sector and we've got the public sector, i.e. the government, and i.e. where the business and business ownership and ownership and means of production operates and exists in the private sector. Civil society finds the middle ground. Civil society finds the point in terms of providing connection. Because civil society, in a way, can help private sector to be part and parcel, for example, in corporate social responsibility initiatives. For sure. Because in most cases, I've seen so many NGOs actually encouraging, requesting, and submitting proposals for sponsorship for their various outreach programs. This does mean that said private sector does in parts have a stake to play, have a role to play through the proxy of the civil society organizations in the everyday lives of a community, of the greater citizenry, of the people impacted, for example, by a specific ailment. I'll call it an ailment because we don't know if it's an illness, a disease, or it could be, for example, something like women who can't afford sanitary pads. Now, the key takeaway from that means, yes, ultimately, this does mean that people have the opportunity to help other people, even if you're from the private sector. The connection then to government, in most parts, from the discussions I've heard, and had mostly centered around trying to be this watchdog with regards to corruption or levels of corruption, to government service provision, to government implementation, or actually the maintenance of various legislation. For example, mention was made about the Whistleblower Act, as well as also mention was made about the Access to Information Act. It was a good discussion platform. I just admitted to you, I actually came at the end. I arrived there at the end because the discussion actually began at 11. Obviously, I was here on air with you, getting through the brand conversation. So ultimately, I found it at the back end of said discussion. But it's good. Firstly, there's conversation happening. Secondly, there's always a bit of mental space being stored, being given, being allotted towards the civil society's function. Now, civil society comprises organizations that are not associated with government. These include schools and universities, advocacy groups, professional associations, churches, and cultural institutions, which are sometimes also businesses that sometimes are covered by the term civil society and sometimes not. And that civil society organizations play multiple roles, and I just explained them to you now. If you had to look at the function of a religious leader, for example, has so much responsibility. So much responsibility. I do not know if most religious leaders actually realize the role that they've stepped into, which is in most parts something that they cannot be paid for. Because of not just being there for religious or spiritual guidance, they also need to provide a sense of a shoulder to cry on, playing a psychologist or psychiatrist or therapist in the meantime, playing a support role in terms of providing just that human support function in the broader community, playing the role in terms of providing marriage counseling? Marriage counseling? And is it not that under normal economic understanding that the household, yes, the household, sometimes where a marriage is also positioned in is understood to be the fundamental function of firstly microeconomics, which then ultimately supports the broader narrative of macroeconomics. Now I'm indicating to you the role of a religious leader. What then even of the various civil society organizations that have to do that participate in the governance scope or in the governance discussion? Because the one key takeaway that was mentioned just earlier with regards to that that mini public lecture, that mini discussion there at the exhibition, was that the one audience member asked, you know, for example, isn't the court system the best way in terms of, let's for example say, trying to combat various legislation or try to take on legislation to be brought in or that would have been brought in by government? Isn't the court system the best? And it was explained there that unfortunately not, because the courts sometimes deem certain court cases or applications, if we have to call it that, let's use the terminology there, that certain applications are not deemed urgent. And thus, the application just hangs in limbo there. I know. For a system that is there for all of us, it does sound a bit odd that an application should just be left hanging. And this is the kind of responses that were met, that were indicated. And this is what civil society organizations were meeting. Were actually faced with regards to, you know, trying, not, and it's, and please understand me guys, it's not about me indicating that they try to keep government in order. It's only government's own policies that can keep them in order. But civil society provides a means in terms of raising concerns that would come from, that would not be mentioned, that would not be raised, that would not be heard if they did not exist. Because ultimately, it's for the betterment of the greater society. Now you would be asking me, Dwight, what does a civil society organization have to do with an economic discussion? And I would indicate to you absolutely everything. You see, if as an individual, we do not, or as individuals, if we do not realize that for an economic function or an economic system to exist and function, it takes people. People, us, human to human interaction on a daily basis. Every minute, every second, every day, every week. It's human to human interaction. It's not about an AI pressing a number here, hoping for another AI to identify it means actually this or tries to interpret another AI's functions? No. Who generated said AI? If you're wondering where I'm going with that, is that ultimately it's people that make a society. It's not a system that makes a society. It's people that voted for a government. It's not a system that voted for a government. It's people that function within an economy. It's not a system that established an economy. It's people that formulated a policy. It's not a system that established the policy. It's people that enacted and established chains of command. It's not a system that indicates chain of command. It's people that actually, well, let's say, fund most of our services in our country. It's not a system that funds the that funds most of the systems or projects or developments, whatever you want to call them, in our country. It's people. You, me. The person next to you, well, if the person is below 19, well, yeah, they still need to be emancipated when they become 21. So, the crux of the discussion then is civil society represents the humanity component. the humanity component. The component that says, there are other humans, there are other people here. They have concerns. We need to talk about these concerns, whether you are government or whether you are private sector. We need to meet each other and we need to allay these concerns. We need to put them to rest. Let me get the next caller in.
All of them, good morning. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, how are you doing? How are you doing, man?
Good. I just wanted to ask something, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's concerning the Eagle FM at this side of the coast.
At the
what
coast?
Happened to?
Is it still? Yes. Are we still down there? You can't hear us?
Yeah, even if you, the frequency was 88.3.
But
once you put, there's no radio anymore.
There's no radio. All right. No, I'll just indicate it once again to the technician. But alternatively, do you have a smartphone the way you can listen to us on our application?
No.
All right, no problem. But I'll just indicate it to the technician, in order to just get on it right away.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
But
man. Let
me ask you, maybe is it cut off or what happened? We don't hear it anymore for very quite long time.
The unfortunate thing is, my brother, that the technician works mostly with the station managers, and you know, usually that technical information has to go just between the two of them. So ultimately, what I can only do is just share relevant information with them and then just ask how far it can be. So that's ultimately the unfortunate scenario.
Okay, thank you, man.
No problem. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you.
Now, just to indicate once to you, dear listeners, for any of you that are experiencing any signal or loss of signal scenarios, do let us know. Here through the programming by calling in, or alternatively, just let us know on our social media platforms, just for us to have a look there, and then we can share and also share the details on with the technical team that is hard at work trying to sort this out. Now, getting back to our discussion, let me first step into a short break and come back right after this.
Hello, Namibia. Indirapa menate luyuni walela pay. Lela pay onkara ompu wama futiro no kwesisa ngoka haguningwa pam karo ngondi hokatavuru okutuminako omatumara kagoe agehe na ngoka go paipindi no tagandana no kutuma mbepo esimbo ojo tunjoka otovuru okuninga shike ko lela pay otovuru okutura omatumara kagoe mbepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pay nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya gwedhapo otovuru okuninga omafutiro goye otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goye giinima ya yoroka ngaashi omatumaraka gorukozi omatumaraka gomahio omatumaraka gomaharero yambeko gomavaro nomatumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara gutseyithile oshigwana ashihe shomonamibia okuza owala poodola 3 niithilinga 5 metumaraka kehe lela pay oharongo ngiini konga oka epa ko lela pay ko play store nenge ko app store eto katura kakale keli mongodhi yoye patulula o akaunta yoye oshali eto tulamo omauthemba goye inda kokandjato koye kiimaliwa eto tulako oshimaliwa to udhitha shoka to pulwa wu udhithe shampa wa mana okutulamo omauthemba goye hogolola kutya owa hala okulongitha ehangano nenge ovenda yini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager longekidha etumwalaka lyoye eto thindi mpoka pwa shangwa send wu tume shampa wa tumu etumwalaka lyoye otali tulwa ko Eagle FM imba lela pay nenge ko The Villager ouna ishe ompito yokutulako ilongwamo yoye yokomake tumina iinima yoye ko digital@malaite.com notayi ulikwa meendelelo opo wu kale wa gudha ko kaalandithi tu dhengela nena ko 081 2 9 6 33 nenge ko 081 3 8 8 8 4 noonora yeli yaali lela pay yiimonena nena tayi adhika ko App Store noko Google Play Store.
Now we get back from our extended break. And just in terms of the role of those civil societies, guys, is that, just to stress it again, they play multiple roles. They are an important source of information for both citizens and government. So yes, information sharing with government can also take place. Highlighting concerns from the person on the ground is sometimes the voice that the government does not hear, or the state does not sometimes or at all times hear, but a civil society can bring or can put focus onto that. They also engage in advocacy and offer alternative policies for government, the private sector, and other institutions. They also deliver services, especially to the poor and the underserved. They defend citizen rights and work to change and uphold social norms and behaviors. If you remember just before the caller came through, in terms of highlighting that not at all times, if in the major fight against corruption, is always going against, is always making use of the court system, not at all. Or if it's about challenging various kinds of legislation that government is considering, when the courts would decide or would weigh up the magnitude or the urgency of said applications, and then it just hangs in limbo. Unfortunately, you know, that is the scenario and some of the hurdles that civil society faces. They do face it. Now, in terms of defending citizen rights, this has been seen in Namibian since. This has been seen here in the Namibian realm. As mentioned, it had been about the previous legislation about research, or the Research Act. If any of you remember that act a few years back, wherein it would have seemed, and this is where major civil, some of the civil society organizations were indicating that this would mean, because just the basic understanding of it was that anyone doing research about Namibia had to clear it with the relevant authorities in the country. A lot of people viewed it from the civil society as, so that would mean even a primary school child would have to clear their basic assignments on school about their country with the relevant authorities. And this was ultimately challenged by civil society because they were asking for clarity. Why would you bring in something so broad, so wide-ranging, that everyone that has to do research needs to ask for permission? And why? Why do you need to have permission to do research? Information is generated at every second as we sit here. I am generating information to you. You are sitting there generating information in your household, wherever you find yourself. So the question about research then becomes rather a little bit irrelevant, and rather a question of the amount of information generated. Because information sits anywhere. Research is just about taking information, cleaning it up, and putting it in a understandable form in order to interpret it, and then to derive whatever recommendations or meaning out of it from there on. The other one was also where civil society was, you know, also trying to challenge the whistleblower, or the introduction, or the possible introduction of the Whistleblower Act. Now, these two instances that I provide to you is ultimately where they looked at underserved and protecting citizen rights, or the rights of citizens. Because a whistleblower is crucial and essential. And if there was a part of a legislation that indicated to punish a whistleblower, why would you want to punish a whistleblower? A whistleblower is already taking a risk in being a whistleblower. Why would you want to punish a whistleblower? Now, it does sound similar to the same kinds of legislation that even in the United States they also brought in under Barack Obama. It was actually considered under Barack Obama. I think Donald Trump introduced the legislation, which in itself poses a major risk because it was dressed up and paraded in the sense of national security in the US. Ultimately, if you know what I'm talking about, this links in to Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning, as well as also Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. Now, all three of those individuals, unfortunately, Julian Assange is in the process of being extradited to the United States, where he could face up to, is it 250 years in prison? That is the extent of said penalty that he could face. Second onto that is also Edward Snowden. I suspect he's still stuck on that Russian airport in Moscow. Chelsea Manning was former military intelligence of the United States. Chelsea Manning was ultimately the individual who it was someone that provided information to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks just then published said information. Now I'm giving you a anecdote, a case study of whistleblowers that actually in the ultimate and the worst case scenarios of what they could face, of what they faced. Now, these specific discussions are all about how civil society aims to allow for the rule of transparency, the rule of law to exist, the system to function properly, to protect everyone, no matter how small you are, no matter how big you are, to provide a voice for those who don't have a voice. I know, it sounds a little bit like a human rights discussion here, but ultimately, it's based upon that those principles wherein the rest of an economy can function from. Ultimately, also, civil society helps to uphold the rest. I gave you the example of the United Kingdom with its 2.5 million food banks. Do you know what is the indication from that? From having so many food banks? Do you guys know what it is? A country of 60, a territory of 60 million people, because I'm lumping two other territories with England together. The indication is that people do not have money to eat. They don't have money to buy food. They don't have money to buy food. Now, if you understand the basics of a healthy labor force, of a healthy economic ecosystem, is that people should be in some way free from certain stresses. You see, when someone has not eaten, they can't work properly. They can't go to work. They can't perform properly. Ultimately, leading up to a potential point where they could face disciplinary action and ultimately lose their living. Their living. Their daily bread. Which can further push them into further destitution. Now, currently what's going on there is there's complete turmoil. For those of us who have followed international news, is that the latest British Prime Minister has already resigned because of exacerbating the living crisis, or the cost of living crisis that they are experiencing. She has resigned earlier today, and she's just been in power for 45 days. And in between there, guys, you won't believe it, civil society has been active. Civil society has been active. The most active part of civil society in the past few months in Namibia has been labor unions. Labor unions looking to get a fair deal for their members. Labor unions looking to get a fair deal for the ordinary Namibian worker. That is civil society, guys. Even though they are part of an economic sector, they run a facilitation, you know, parallel to the sector that produces. They are vital as well. And so many times here on Eagle FM ourselves, we've exhaustively also spoken to labor union or labor, union representatives. Now, it's key to note here that civil society is vital. In some parts, they are directly involved in everyday economic systems and economic activities, for example, like the labor unions. In some parts, it's a little bit more detached, but you can see their vital importance. For example, in religious circles, or even in the governance component. And as I mentioned to you guys, what makes an economy actually function is not a system, it's the people in the system. It's the people in the system. Now, the OECD, or is it the World Economic Forum, one of those two, also highlighted how civil society has been also active in the major talk with regard to the fourth industrial revolution. Now, I stress, once again, I bring you back to that discussion because I myself have a personal concern with the fourth industrial revolution and its impacts, especially on Namibia. Because in most parts, the 4IR revolution or the wave of it or the existence of it or the coming introductions of it is that it aims...
Okukara nehimbo matuliro wochiwa ngungu mo Namibia. Koromendi ya Namibia okutulungira mo ministry yotutumbono bikunwa omeba no matuliro wehi yatwa mo maunguliro beta yehiraka mwaha oicha tano yobulo mayobye bali na mbali okuhongerera po chiungura chomana nendo wehi obeta nji ibatira kucho munda uhe makale nehi ihi machi batire kuitha po odondurumbata mehiraka mwaha ihi machi enenithiwa okutulungira mo maunguliro wo uthemba okukara nehi mehiraka mwaha Ochirata chombadu chicha demburu kwa machi anjo utemba wakukara nehi mwamatuli lwaka mwaha gundo chirata chehi romatuli lwaka mwaha murukondwa luhe amachi ya kuroma ningira wakukara nehi mwamatuli lwaka mwaha Ministri maikondono mahingeri po nokutwa odo njibi tirohunga na mbiu njibu mwamaguli tiro wutemba wakukara nehi mehiraka mwaha Ochirata chombadu chicha demburu kwa machi anjo utemba wakukara nehi mwamatuli lwaka mwaha gundo chirata chehi romatuli lwaka mwaha murukondwa luhe Amachi ya kuroma ningira wakukara nehi mwamatuli lwaka mwaha Ministri maikondono mahingeri po nokutwa odo njibi tirohunga na mbiu njibu wakukara nehi mwamaguli tiro land administration system
Wana mbiyo wa machi wa kama wa Odongwiro do machangiziro wehi mwamahi waka mwaha zero shanai. Okuya njo ngwidi kilo kobana mahi, obathuberwa wao, kobanache bao, na imba mbehupa muho, okutidira odondekuro nandumade ya ehindi. Okuya njera okakotike hi okulira komundu umwe, kouchapeha kara omararaka neno we. Okuchito wachiri kukucha obana mahi veno uhatwe mwamashangwa buma uyalitha omikoka vye hirao no unene we hirao. Okubatero batule okuchite hi no kutide hi ndi hi na mwini kucha veunguli theroko mario no kobi unguli tuwa vyao. Okuya nja ohau theu kuhona pale wambadhu okupupalitha ondia kaha mwamahi wakamwa. Okuya njero uthemba uoku ningira ojifuta indu ohoromende shia ungulitha ehiroye kondungiro shimuna yodongira po yo manene palithiro woshirongo po omekulithiro ngamwa. Okuya njyo masa konjeverero yo uthemba wabaka dendu, obahepa uke, obahepundu, obiwanambe ifiwa kompunda, obafiona, obavere, obarema neno bakurundu. Oministri maitundudha obana mahi okuchito maningiro wakukwithiko mahi wao okupitira mwamachangiziro wa uthemba wakukara nehi mwamatuli lwaka mwaha. Otututo kuchito maningiro motu wadha povirata vyombadhu na podho mberodho ministri yomahi yopopedhu naobe. Ehiroye, oru ya bedhoroe, mwunjuye, Chito maningiro naiko kusha uli shangiri. Namibia, ehiretu, ochirumatwa chetu, omutongati mawetu. odo programa do mekulitiro wehi proshiwa ngungu nongwili kilo kudha koromende ya Namibia orwano na mahi wa Europa na maunguru waku mwe kweno horomende ye hilo bandu ishi kuturungira mwambanga yomekulitiro ye hilo bandu ishi kwenjibi zilo kumurunga hakaena lorupa na mabili zilo odombude do ministry yo matu nino wehi omeba no tutumbo na wikunwa ponoro hampo umwe no imwe ombali ouliri hampo datu hampo bali omuvyu ombali omuvyu